Wrestling a little bit with what to share today, not because I don't know what to share today, but because there's so much to share, so many entrance points into this familiar but sort of puzzling scripture. We've taken 2 weeks in the lectionary to talk about the whole passage of Jesus being named the Messiah, Peter recognizing it, or Simon recognizing it, and then this scripture today. And as Pam shared with the kids, in one aspect, this idea of how we grow together is important, and a strengthening of our character and a shaping of who we are is right and appropriate, especially for children of this age. Sitting here, not children of the age, but children of this age, like sitting here, right? But this piece of scripture just so unmistakably cracks open and calls us to address something that is much larger and before us. It is the fact that we can't stay that age. We can't continue to be children, but in our life, in our spiritual way that we see things, in our true life, we often stay at that place. And so we think about strengthening our character and denying good things to do things we don't want to do, and somehow we know God loves us. But the temptation to stay at that level is strong, and it is a temptation, and it is something that Jesus clearly warns us about and pushes us through in the scripture, but we often overlook it because we don't want to deal with it. So I want to preach a few pieces of this, and I'm going to use some terminology that you may not be like, oh, I get what he's saying. There's a time for teaching this. We had a good time in the earlier service. We had some space and could have a conversation about this, but today it's some revelation, some word, and it's up upon your heart to listen, to receive, and to think about, and then we can talk about it later. I'm going to talk about it out of what is really transpiring in this text, in this story. I'm going to touch on last week, but I'm going to tell it in a way that hopefully will open our ears today. You see, Jesus has been, from the beginning of his ministry, born into this world, growing up just like these children, and at a certain age, at a certain time in his baptism, at a certain level of maturity, he went and was revealed to him who he is, and God's Spirit descending upon him, and that same Spirit then said, in order to live into who you are, it is time to move out, and he was driven into the wilderness in a time to be tested, to be tempted, to take all that he had been raised up to know and how to be and who he felt he was as a person. Who is this Jesus? Who are my parents? How do I act with the other kids? How good of a carpenter am I? How do I relate in Israel and Rome and in the picture? Just like all of us have been raised up to interact in our world, from children by our parents to those the next size family, how we deal with each other in school, and so on and so forth, in our vocations, in our world. We're always growing and changing, and that scope of who we are, how we see ourselves, who I am, is always transitioning and hopefully growing until it doesn't grow. And if anything, we should hear first and foremost from Jesus' journey that it should always grow. And then we should hear from the story we heard about Simon and Peter, the disciples, that our temptation is to stop growing. And then we can look at ourselves and our people next to us and around and recognize, indeed, most of us stop growing. We stop discovering who we are. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this passage. So Jesus has gotten to this place in his ministry, 2 or 3 years in, and he asked the disciples who had been following him, who he called, to come behind me and follow me. That was his words when they were fishermen. Come, follow me, come behind me. And they had been, and he'd been doing things. We talked last week, the magnificent power and transformation and energy and healings were happening, and the world was acting in a way that people had not recognized before. And his disciples then began to do the same thing and were healing and casting out demons, even raising people in life. All of this was going on, and Jesus said, now I need to stop and ask, what do you see? How are things? Who am I? Who are people saying that I am? Who are the crowds talking about? And as in the way humans do, we start reaching back to things in our life. Well, I want to categorize you like John the Baptist or Elijah or Nehemiah or Jeremiah. And then Jesus said, now who of you disciples that have been following me? How is your life developing? Who do you see yourself and who do you see me as? And one of the disciples named Simon said, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, yes. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this isn't something you came up with out of your own life and how you see yourself. It wasn't taught to you. This has been revealed to you by God. Now, I emphasize Simon, that was his name. And Jesus said, son of Jonah, meaning you've just died, Simon. You've gone through the sign of Jonah. You've been swallowed up. This story of Jonah, you know, the prophet who didn't want to do what God wanted him to do because he wanted to do his own thing. The whale or the fish swallowed him up. 3 days inside the fish. This is the metaphor for death. You've died, and then he spit back and transformed and becomes the one who does God's will. That's our story, and Simon had gone through this in a moment. You've become somebody that you weren't before. You have died to who Simon was, raised up from a little child. You have died to being a fisherman. You have died to this idea that you thought all there was this world and the way that it was, that there was a sea and fish and people and connections. You have been discovering something about yourself and about me that is deeper, that there's way more to this world and creation than you can see. And in dying to Simon, you discovered this. God has revealed it to you, that there's something more to this life than you recognize. Blessed are you. From now on, your name is Peter. And by this process of dying and embracing and discovering the truth that we've known all along, that there's more to life, you have embraced it. This is where the church comes from. This process. You've died, and now you're reborn into a new person. Now, that was last week's sermon and story, but listen. In the midst of that, Jesus said, and now that you're Peter, you've tapped into something you didn't realize. You are powerful. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What's bound in heaven will be bound on earth. The way that you work and move, what you create, what you do, how you act in this world changes everything. And that's who you've been. You just didn't know it. But now as you act out of that place, now that you are Peter, now that you've discovered that it's not outsiders and insiders, but you are part of God. You have been together all along. Once you've discovered that this is who you are in your true self, it's powerful. It's powerful beyond your belief. And then Jesus, Matthew says, begins to show them what's going to happen. He doesn't just tell them, well, now this is going to happen. He shows them that his life, Jesus' life, the way that we all live our life, from birth through growing up to discovering who we truly are in God to losing the sense of self that we put up and the ideas that we think we are, I'm this, I'm that, I'm educated here, I know this person, all of those things are falling away, Jesus says, and I'll be going to Jerusalem. And the scribes and the Pharisees, it'll be a hard time for me. I'll end up being crucified on a cross. I will die. And I will be raised again. And disciples, that is your journey. That is life. I was born. I discovered who I am. I am the Messiah, Christ, going through this before us. Follow me as I show you how life is from now on. As I show you the truth of life and death. As I show you that there's more to this world than just who you think you are. More than just the ego or the small self. More than just how other people see you. At the heart of this creation, you above all are created to know and to discover and to create and to recognize indeed that God can love you and invested in such a way and created in such a way we can think about God loving us and how we act with others. So much more evolved and complicated than simply the trees or butterflies. But the same process, Jesus says, is going on in you. And look, it happened in Peter. And soon as Jesus says, this is how it works. And Peter now used to be Simon. He's a new being with all of this power. He says, Jesus, God, no, do not let this happen to Jesus. Peter, the new creation, imbibed with power that now can speak with God and for God and create, prays to God that Jesus will not go through what Jesus just said he's going through. Are you with me? This is a prayer. Now, if Peter is given all of this power because he's connected with who God is and recognizes the unity of who we are, that draws us all together as people and the cosmos, Peter prays a prayer that is not answered and maybe not even heard by God, because he's praying out of a place of death where he used to be. He's praying as Simon. Oh no, God, don't let this happen to Jesus. Jesus said, you're now Peter. What you say and pray, that will happen. And the first thing he prays is, don't, you can't die, Jesus. And Jesus says to him, follow me, get behind me. It's the same word in the Greek as when he called them as fishermen. Follow me is the same Greek word as get behind me. He says, follow me again. Your place is not in front. Follow me through this journey. And he calls him Satan or the tempter or humanity, your old self, an idea that's not the true self, the small self. Wisdom has preached about this for thousands of years. You can find it all over the place. But this sense of not the true self, but this image we've created of ourselves. You got to get behind me because you can't go ahead of me. I'm showing you how we die. I'm showing you how we die and what it means. And what it means is that you continue to live and you are not what you think you are. This is a big revelation. This is our huge revelation. And Peter sort of flunks it the first time and he relies on how he used to think about things. And then, and listen carefully, Jesus then tells him and all the disciples, says, look, in order to be behind me, in order to live life the way I'm showing you life really works, not like you think it works, not like other people says it works, not like people who want to control your life, like the empire says it works. You don't have to be afraid of death. I'm telling you the truth. Follow me and I'll show you. But in order to do that, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. In order to be who you really are, in order to discover what God has divinely placed in you and created you as, to recognize your true place that you know in your heart of hearts you're trying to get to, in order to discover that, you have to go through a process. You have to grow up. And growing up means that you have to die to the old self and the small self. Not because it's evil, but it's incomplete. You can't remain little children. We can't keep thinking that it's God out there and us over here, and I hope we do good things until that God loves us. We have to recognize we're in God. We're created beings. He created all things, including us. We have evolved to a place where we can recognize that and participate and give glory and find all the amazing things and be creators with God. That's where we are. We just don't recognize it until deep and difficult things come up, until we go through the darkness, until we're willing to embrace and follow Jesus and follow the teacher and see the model that Jesus says, do this, live my way, walk this way, die with me and see that there is life evermore, and it isn't the end of things, it is the beginning of things. Deep breath for the preacher. Now we know, cutting forward, all right, follow you. I'm gonna put myself and look at you as a model. That's fair enough. Live your life, live into the compassions, shape these ways of being with other people. But what about this denying self? How do we deny? Look, Peter has become somebody that was dead and now is alive again. He's been given divine insight, which you too possess. It's just a matter of discovery. He discovered who you are, who I am, and who he is in God. And God revealed it to him, and he was transformed. He died to the old Peter, or to the old Simon. He is now Peter. And going through, though, remember what happens to Peter? Jesus says, I'll never leave you. And what does Peter say when Jesus is arrested? I'll follow you. I'll be with you. I'll never desert you. And Jesus said, you will deny me 3 times. What do you think that means? The new Peter, the one who's seeing the revelation, he can't stop growing, even in his divine revelation. Peter, walk behind me. Don't stop the process. Peter, deny yourself.
And Peter denies that he is a child of God. He denies the revelation he had to save his own skin, to protect Simon's life. When the guards ask him, or the people at the fire, are you a follower of Jesus? Oh, no, oh, no. Because old Simon and who he thinks he is in life and death, even though it's dead, he remembers it. And he tries to live into it three times. Just goes, it's okay. We're going to have those moments. And what I want to share with you as we close this is a journey. It isn't something you become instantly aware of. It is something that is divinely revealed, and it happens in the darkness. We have had a great flood in Houston, right? And before the flood came, there were millions of people whose lives they understood them to be, this is who I am, this is where I live, here's all the photographs of my family, here's the job that I had, here's the money that I saved, here are the neighbors that I have, here's how my kids relate to me, I'm a person who can get whatever they want, I'm independent, I have incomes, I can do whatever and go wherever I want to go. And then the floods came and all of that was wiped away in a moment. All that they thought they were was obliterated in a moment. Houses destroyed, pictures erased, who they thought they were, a sense of independence and I can take care of myself, now needed people to help them out of their very homes. In a moment this happened. Now, are those people destroyed? Do you believe those people's lives have ceased to exist? Have they failed at life? Are they valueless because who they thought they were in one moment that was absolutely changed in another is destroyed? Do you think that about them? Come on, church, do you believe that they are no longer existing? No! So they are more than what they thought they were. You are more than you think you are. You are more than the titles. You are more than the income. You are more than the sense of autonomy and independence. You are more than your family connections and what you think you're remembering, which is really actually just creating in the moment, connecting cells. I mean, it's beautiful. But you're more than that, and you know it. Because if all we were was Simon, I'm just a fisherman. I'm Simon. I don't know who you are, Jesus. I'm Simon. I hope I don't die. I hope you don't die, Jesus. We wouldn't give two rat's hoots about the people in Houston. Because we say, I'm okay. I have no connection to those people. They were what they were with their jobs and their ideas and the families and the way they thought world was. It's different after a night. They don't exist for me anymore. That's not who we are. We pour out our hearts. We have compassion. We believe in our souls that they will rebuild, won't they? There'll be new houses and new places, and the old stuff will be used to make new things. And in the midst of utter destruction, out of them losing their entire identity, dying to themselves, they haven't disappeared, and we don't think they disappeared. The reason we don't is because within us is the Spirit of God. Within them is the Spirit of God. We are created beings in God. So what Jesus is telling us, so the outside trappings can come and go. They're irrelevant to who we are, and we know that because we still love them, and we want to help them. They mean something to us, and their identity has changed completely. None of their lives are the same as they were the day before. Now, your life, let me ask you this. Which one of you in your life, which age, 2-year-old, 6-year-old, 15-year-old, 35-year-old, which one of you is going to heaven? Which one of those people is going to heaven? Maybe your best day, maybe when you felt you're on top of, maybe that version of you. Is it the version that is still 10 years from now? Is it the version that's 25 years from now? Is it the version that is maybe broken and sick? Is that the one? Which one? The truth is, none of them. You have already died to every one of them. You're not the same person you were when you were 2 years old. You don't see things the same way. You don't think of yourself the same way. You don't know the world the same way. You grew out of it, right? Now you don't mourn and say, oh my gosh, I'm dead to that. You simply grow. And we go, that's beautiful. Today I'm this, now I'm in fourth grade, now I'm in senior high, now I'm in college. You don't say of it, oh, I hope I never get to high school. No, that's growth in life and death. And the death of the 2-year-old to become the 2-year-old in one day person is absolutely necessary. But it's good news because the 2-year-old in one day person is there. We stop too soon, Jesus tells us. You're no longer Simon, son of Jonah. Through death, you've come out and become You're Peter. And you have all the power. And God hears you when you act out of that power. It's the way creation happens. You're part. Here's the last image. If you get growth. You know, the butterfly or the caterpillar goes into a cocoon, makes its cocoon. And it crawls into it. And we say, that makes sense. For no reason. And we know that it comes out a butterfly. Do you know what happens in the middle? This is the world. This is creation. The caterpillar absolutely obliterates itself. It turns to liquid. A nice little growth hormone, a little death hormone in there. The cells melt away. The organism, absolutely all that was there, melts into a puddle of goo. And as the sun and the days are the right length and the chrysalis is in the right place, the next chemicals come in, and it begins to take shape of a butterfly. I don't believe for one moment that the caterpillar is gifted with some insight to go, well, this will be good. I'm going to go become that butterfly. All the caterpillar did was live into what it was called to do, which was to die. But in God's economy, in the way that all the cosmos works, it doesn't die. It becomes new. It didn't choose to say this so I can be a butterfly. It just went. But you and I are different. You and I choose. We know death. We understand. We understand our life. We have an insight to God. We can discover who we are and that there's something beyond. We have to practice the life that brings us to that place. Our trouble is that we want to be caterpillars with wings. We want to change and grow. We want to trust these things to be true. We want to know that not only is there life after death, but there's something we're growing into. We just don't want to stop being what we think is important. We don't want to let go of the sense of self or place or whatever idea that we have of our old self. We don't want to be swallowed up by the fish. We don't want to die in order to become. And when we refuse to do that, it's painful. Jesus goes, it's a stumbling block for you because you can't discover who you are. But all around you, including in the disciples themselves, in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he said, this is exactly how it works for you. So the question becomes, are you willing to be inspired to follow, to be who you truly are, to be my follower, to be who God created you to be? Because that's who you are inside. Are you willing to deny yourself, to wrestle with the image of small self and to do the things that allow you to discover who you truly are, to live and to love and to know why you have compassion for people in Houston whose lives have been absolutely devastated, but you are troubled? That is a beautiful thing. It's because we're the same. Are you willing to take up your cross and not look at death as the end of things or this great block that stops us, but to look at it like it is everywhere else in all of creation, that it becomes this, becomes the next thing? And lest we worry because we can contemplate it, Jesus went before us and said, look, this is how it works. And we say, amen. And we say, Jesus transfigured. We say, Jesus raised from the dead. We say, oh no, that can't happen, Jesus. At the same time, let the word be as we share in communion. I kept you a little longer, but I don't want you to miss what happens in the next few minutes. Because you're invited to the absolutely essentially real place, the absolute essential truth as it has never existed before and exists in this moment, to come and be put together, to be remembered, as Jesus says. Die to self, come to this meal, and be put together the way that truth is. Let the old self die and come. You're my body, you're my blood. Ingest it, let it be who you are, and let God reveal to you the truth of who you are, that you are so much more than you can imagine. And then he said, there are plenty of people who won't physically die before they actually see who they truly are. You are one of those people today. It might happen for you in communion. You might honestly come and die to self and say, I know I'm something more than I can tell. Show me. And when you ingest the bread and drink the wine, you may see the kingdom of God and Jesus in all his glory standing right before us and know that you are that in an instant. This is the mystery of death. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And this is the opportunity. I want to give an opportunity for us to do offering. I wish it was another way. I want to move to communion, but I want us to just take a minute and sit with it. Right? If the ushers would come forward, let's share and give thanks. Let's show that we trust a God in our life that allows us to do that. We'll give our tithes, our offerings, and then we'll share in communion. Then we'll share in communion. If the ushers would come forward, please, let us share and discover.